Good morning and welcome to our regular closed session agenda for Tuesday, October 23rd, 2018. Roll call, Madam Secretary.
Director Coleman.
Present.
Director Katz.
Present.
Director Lenny.
He's on his way.
Director Mellon.
Present.
Director Patterson.
Present.
Director Young.
Here.
President McIntosh.
Here. I have no speaker cards for public comment. So we will reconvene in Conference Room 8 to discuss Item 1A, returning here at 1:15 for a regular business meeting. Welcome to our Tuesday, October 23rd, 2018, regular business meeting. Roll call, Madam Secretary.
Directors Coleman.
Present.
Katz.
Present.
Lenny.
Here.
Mellon.
Present.
Patterson.
Present.
Young.
Here.
President McIntosh.
Here. Please join us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. General Manager, we have two presentations.
Yes. President McIntosh, members of the board, we have two presentations. The first, I'm hoping that the chair of our Finance and Administration Committee, Director Patterson, would be in a position to present this to staff. It's heavy, so I'm going to...
Is it a rock?
So, for the 13th consecutive year, the Government Finance Officers Association of the United States and Canada has presented a Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting Award to the District for its comprehensive annual financial report. In order to receive this award, the District's fiscal year 2017 comprehensive annual financial report had to meet all requirements for basic financial statement presentation, including compliance with all generally accepted accounting principles and pronouncements. Three independent reviewers from the United States not only rated the report, but also provided comments and suggestions for future improvements. Effective internal controls, proper recording of expenses, and proactive review of projects and programs results in a district financial report that is both informative and compliant. This certification enhances our standing with other agencies and the financial community. Under the leadership of Controller Scott Klein, the fiscal year 2017 financial reporting staff, consisting of Lawrence Fan, David Hsu, Crystal Zhang, Melody Wang, and Yenny Coburn, put this winning report together with support from other accounting sections represented by Lisa Chan and Kirk Hutchins. The financial statement preparation was truly a team effort. Please join me in congratulating the group.
You know, I have inherited a unique seat. Some people say it's good to be good, and some people say it's good to be great. But few agencies or individuals are both good and great. I have the pleasure of serving as chair of the Finance Committee of one of the finest financial units ever assembled in America. That is the East Bay Mud Financial Unit. Not only does it have the Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting, but it keeps this agency ahead of the curve as it relates to its movement and its standing in the industry. Congratulations to Scott, you, and your troopers, and congratulations, East Bay Mud.
You guys might want to say a word.
Okay.
Go ahead, Scott.
I'm waiting for the photographer. Thank you very much. And I think it's the effort of the board, continuing effort, and kind of mentioned to a few people that you guys hired Alex in 2011. And if you look at the trend report, I just want to keep that in mind when you look at the data, okay? Because it's stellar. And it's not stellar for the purpose that we want to be the excellent whatever, but it is that we want to be the best we can be. And I think we're setting a very solid foundation for the future, and it's to your credit and all the efforts that you do that help us make an easy report, you know, to the community and to the markets, so that we can get the best rates we can. So I thank you for everything you do for us.
Great job.
So that it was nice to receive that award, and today we presented to the Finance Committee the fiscal year 18 successes and the fiscal year 19 plan. So it's good timing. This next award also has good timing. The board received as a part of the information memos last week that mailed last Thursday our annual sustainability report, and that was a foundation for this award, which is the Sustainability Award from AMRA, and it's also heavy.
Okay.
So, oh, yeah. Our Director Young, who chairs our Sustainability and Energy Committee, will present the award, and let me introduce it. So it's my pleasure to inform the Board of Directors that the district has been awarded the Sustainable Water Utility Management Award by the Association of Metropolitan Water Agencies, or AMWA, in recognition of our commitment to management that achieves a balance of innovative and successful efforts in areas of economic, social, and environmental endeavors. AMWA praised the district for its integrated water resource planning, asset management, water conservation and recycling, renewable energy, natural resources management, and climate change response. On EB Mudd's commitment to the triple bottom line, AMWA said the district's infrastructure renewal focuses on resilience to sea level rise, seismic events, increased urbanization, and prolonged drought. Its financial management has sustained strong bond ratings while pioneering green bond issues and environmental, social, and government standards in retirement system investments. To sustain the community, East Bay Mud has expanded customer rate assistance, local contracting, and local job opportunities. I'd like Director Young to present the award, and I'd like to ask staff members of the Sustainability Committee to come forward at this time, and please hold applause until I've read everybody's name. Members of the committee include Mike Ambrose, Greg Benson, Nadia Borisova, Clifford Chan, Susan Delbo, Kristen Font, Lorena Giardin, Chandra Johannesson, Dennis Karam, Joey Smith, Kelly Smith, and Doug Wallace. So if you guys would all step forward. Have Nelsie take a
probably
photograph.
I probably have to squeeze in a little bit. I just wanted to say that, the stewardship and sustainability that East Bay Mud is being well recognized for today is part of what brought me to want to be on the district. So I'm honored to work with all of you and all of the people that you work with, because as Alex indicated, he covered basically every inch of this organization and what we're being recognized for. So thank you all.
All right, I have no announcements from closed session. I have no speaker cards for public comment on general items, but I do have two speaker cards for item number 3 on the consent calendar, so I'm pulling number 3 and number 7 on the consent calendar. That moves us to the consent calendar. Items 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 6, 1, 6, 2.
I'll move it.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions, comments, thoughts? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. That's unanimous. Item number 3, Mr. General Manager. Should we do the speakers first?
Yeah, I think that would work best.
All right. First, Tyler Ridgely, followed by Steve Varney. Come forward. You each have 3 minutes. Welcome.
Can everyone hear me? That's necessary. But. My name is Tyler Ridgely. I'm Vice President of ASCO Supply. We submitted a bid on item 1818, two powerhouses. We use a company PowerCon, which we believe is as competitive and better than the competitor's Myers product, but that's our opinion. In this bid process, we were deemed non-responsive, even though we were 5% low, $300,000 lower than our competitor. The items that we were deemed non-responsive for were, in our opinion, nitpicky. They were talking about notes referred to from our rigger, where our competitor is using the same rigger to install these units, and we referred to our notes. We didn't take any exceptions other than they were notes between PowerCon and the rigger, and they were read as notes that we were taking exception to anchor plates and the way it was going to be rigged. Those ones, through the appeal process, have been determined to be not that important, and the review board is sticking to our warranty, which we made an error and put 18 months, which is PowerCon's standard, and you guys needed a 24-month warranty. We then came back and said, okay, we'll give you a 3-year warranty. And they said we can't change at this point, which I understand. It's an official evaluation, but we do know there were errors in our competitor's quote as well that they are omitting. They mark small business. They're not a small business, but for some reason they're still responsive with that error, but we're not responsive with our 18-month warranty error. So we just wanted to take this all the way through and come to you guys and let you know you're spending $300,000 extra dollars for a grammatical error on my part. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Ridgely. Steve Varney.
I'm also speaking on RFQ 1818. I am the manufacturer sales rep for PowerCon. We worked with ASCO Supply to put this bid together in excess of 530 pages of a bid document. So there was a lot of thought put into this. I'm also speaking on behalf of the fact that I'm an East Bay Mud ratepayer, and I'm well aware that every dollar saved goes to better rates for ratepayers. I'm actually a ratepayer, and I would feel like that we're coming to the board just one last shot. Like Tyler mentioned, that we've done the appeal protest, and as the process goes on, is our opportunity to address the board before they make a decision. And PowerCon is one of the prime suppliers for control houses and switchgear for Pacific Gas and Electric, as well as Myers. So we supply equal, in our opinion, greater equipment. But our bid was very thorough and well thought out, and it was fully complete on a technical standpoint. ASCO was brought in for a commercial standpoint. They're a distributor that we work with on a regular basis when we work with public municipalities, similar to SMUD and other munis in our area. The distributor accepts all commercial terms, which they were willing to do, and there was just some kind of clerical errors in our bid, and unfortunately, we were not able to be brought to the table to discuss it. It was through a written appeal and protest, which doesn't really bring the big picture together when you're responding to a 500-plus page, $7 million technical piece of equipment. So we just ask that the board do what they can to potentially save East Bay Mud and ratepayers close to $300,000. That's it.
Thank you. Mr. General Manager, would staff like to respond?
Yes. Jimmy, are you in a position to provide a response? Board, at your places, you have both the protest that was submitted by ASCO and you have the district's response to that protest. This normally would have been included in the board materials, but it came in after we mailed the information to the board. That's why we're presenting it to you now. Jimmy can briefly summarize sort of the couple of key issues and the constraints that we face as a public utility when reviewing bids.
Thank you, President McIntosh and members of the board. This particular piece of equipment, two power buildings, are critical to our long-term implementation of a number of improvements we have at our facilities. These ones particularly are for the Maloney Pumping Plant and the Sobrante Water Treatment Plant. Those are scheduled to be implemented next winter. We have a one-year time frame for delivery, and so we are at that one-year time frame right now. Of particular importance in the exceptions that were taken by the supplier were that the installation, these power buildings come in pieces and are assembled on site. One of the particular things that was important was that the supplier was to actually reassemble that equipment on site. The exception that was taken was that they would assist the installer, or, you know, maybe the contractor that we hired to actually do the work, in putting that together. That to us is a very important point. We wanted to make sure that the supplier of the equipment has full responsibility for providing it and also installing and assembling it. As I mentioned, we are at that point where we have a year to get delivery. We are concerned about delaying this award because it potentially would have a cascading effect on all the other projects that we have. So if we miss the window for delivery of this particular piece of equipment next year, it actually probably has a 6 to 12 month impact on not only this project but succeeding projects which depend on this being in place.
Jimmy, the speakers spoke about clerical errors. Can you speak to that?
Yes. The
and their proposal.
And their proposal. Mm-hmm. The
we have Kelly, right? Who might be in a position to speak specifically. And
good afternoon, President McIntosh, members of the board. Kelly Smith, purchasing. So the bid was found after review by the engineering, procurement, and other staff was found to be non-responsive for a few areas, as noted by the bidder, materials and warranty specifically, and a few other areas that Jimmy noted. So although the vendor offered to come and help explain the bid a little bit further to us, as a public agency, we're unable to allow vendors to change their bid after it's been submitted.
That's the bottom line.
And it would be a substantial change to allow a warranty extension.
Right. Where we have the ability to reject all bids,
right.
Start over, and rebid, which Jimmy, our current acting director of engineering and construction, was explaining would have a significant time and cost impact. But we don't have the ability to, we have to take the lowest responsive bid, which is the one that we are recommending for the board to consider. We're not in a position where after we receive and open the bids, we can start negotiating with a second or an alternate bidder. So,
all right. Thank you.
A question. Is it our practice to do a bidding conference or something that clarifies any aspects of the RFP prior to contractors' responses?
We actually did. We held two mandatory bid conferences to allow for bidders to come in. They didn't have to attend both. They could attend either one, and those were attended by the bidder. The only people who could bid were people that attended the mandatory conference and were at a pre-qualified product.
Okay.
But I think to follow up on Marguerite's question, Dr. Young's question, after the bids are being reviewed, do you hold another conference in which discrepancies can be looked at, asked, and ironed out?
As a matter of practice, we do not.
Now, is that state law or is that just our practice?
State law in the sense of?
I'm just asking. I mean, $300,000 is a little,
yeah.
It's not chump change, even on a $7 million project. And I don't know if that's the savings and a 3-year warranty versus a 24-month 2-year warranty. I don't know if that's the differential or not, but I would think if we're looking at bids that come in when they had attended the pre-conference meetings and we have questions, that would be an appropriate time to have the bidders there, whether together or in a separate room, going through and asking these questions in order to get the best bid versus a bid on paper. So that's why I'm asking, is it state law or is it our practice?
We can follow up. It's the law that says that as a public utility, and I should actually let our general counsel speak to the law, but I'll go out on a limb here and say that it's the law that mandates that we take the lowest responsive and responsible bidder, and we have to rely on what they submit to us in writing as a basis to make that determination, and we don't have the opportunity afterwards to have a conversation that says, well, you said 18 months for your warranty, but did you really mean 24? We take what's provided in writing and make our decision based on that.
You know, Alex, there have been numerous times in my tenure here where we have had bids that have been changed when, by the time it got to the board from the time it was opened. That has happened in the past, and because of clarification issues and things of that nature. Did we stop doing that?
That's not my understanding, but I'll allow.
Yes, so under the law, the public entity, like East Bay Mud, we can waive technical deficiencies or technical errors, but we cannot waive substantive errors. And in terms of a warranty, where every bidder was told, as I understand it here, that our standard requirement is 24 months, to have a bidder come in and say, well, we'll bid on an 18-month warranty is substantive. It's not technical. They may say now that it's technical, but just from an objective perspective, if they're not bidding to our specifications, it's not a technical deficiency. What we try to protect against and what the law protects against is all bids come in at the same time. They're open at the same time. You don't want to allow a bidder to come in, see what the other bids are saying, and then say, oh, I can do better. I can change my bid in order to become now the lowest responsive bidder. So that's why these seemingly inflexible rules are in place, but they're in place for a good reason.
John, are you finished?
For right now.
Frank.
I noticed in your response letter on the appeal that, or not, I'm not sure if that was you or not, but no, it was Sophia's, that there was also anchor bolts that weren't listed there, and was that part of the RFQ process?
Yes. It's page 15 of the bid package. We did require the anchor bolts, and they had not included in this pricing, and one of the items was anchor plates and bolts. So that would go to what Craig was speaking of. That's a substantial omission.
Regardless whether we're talking 18 months or 24 months, you ain't got no anchor bolts to hold this kind of machinery down. You ain't got no machinery. It's just that simple. The machinery's going to bounce and break. So I'm satisfied.
Anything further?
I'll go with staff.
What's the pleasure of the board?
Sure.
Come on out.
So, being the manufacturer's rep, I would like to kind of combat some of that comment. So I was actually present for the job walk. It wasn't a conference. It was more of a pre-job walk where we were able to walk the sites and survey access to the site, where the foundations would be. They hadn't been designed. So to address the anchor plates and bolts, again, that was something that was written by a rigger. A rigger is somebody who owns a crane and is part of reassembling the package, not the engineering or the supply group. In this particular matter would be PowerCon building the buildings. So the rigger took exception to the anchor plates and bolts because that's not part of their scope, and they had no idea of what foundation was it to be laid onto. So when there's a concrete foundation, typically there's a steel embed and you weld a control building to it. Sometimes you can use anchor plates and bolts. And in this case, anchor plates and bolts were called out. However, our pricing included, and it was called out in our quote, whatever was required to reassemble the control house to the foundation. So without our knowledge of the actual foundation design, which has not been designed yet, it's very hard to make assumptions of what type of plates or bolts are needed. So we did include pricing and engineering and the installation portion on our quote for full assembly and reassembly of everything. So that's, we feel like we tried to explain that through the bid or the protest process, but again, it was had to be in writing, and it wasn't a chance to have an open forum with the engineering groups to really explain our in-depth quote. We talked about the warranty, which is a really big item that it seems like every time there's a rebuttal back from our protest process that the warranty comes up. So the warranty was a standard. It was the only thing listed with the PowerCon standard, which is an 18-month. But again, ASCO is involved to take all commercial elements of this bid, and they took no exceptions to Exhibit D, which is part of the contract portion, which has the warranty. So until Exhibit D is executed on, there's no contract, and part of the Exhibit D is the warranty. So with ASCO being involved, they took no exception, and they're the ones that are accepting the full warranty. They didn't take exception. It was just part of PowerCon's bid. So just so the board knows how this works is there's a rigger, there's a PowerCon, which is, supplies the control house, there's an electrical relay company involved, and an electrical test company. So there's four quotes to put together this whole package for what East Bay MUD's asking for. And we compiled all four of those quotes, and in our response or our bid, we included just all the verbiage, so there was full transparency. So there was maybe some contradicting terms in here because we showed the terms for all the quotes. But at the end of the day, ASCO Supply, who's the one bidding, took no exceptions to any commercial aspects. So we still stand and tell the board, and like we told East Bay MUD engineers or reviewing parties, that we're fully compliant with this bid, 100% technical and commercially. So I just want to make that clear that this back and forth on these little items, had we had an opportunity for an open forum, we wouldn't be here. They're little small items that was always part of our bid, and maybe we didn't express that in exact verbiage the right way. I don't know. And I don't know how to address the board any other way, but we just want to make sure that you're all aware that the other bid was fully responsive on a technical and a commercial end.
Thank you. Frank, did you have something further?
No. So if I'm understanding this right, the question still is, when a bid is accepted and the bid is opened, it seems like there should be an opportunity for staff to clarify things so that if it says 18 months in one part of the bid and 24 in another, but we know that the specifications is for 24 months, or you know, it might be something else, that there'd be a desire to clarify without telling anybody what the bid prices were, to say, did you mean to bid on to make a bid that didn't meet our specifications, or did you really mean 24 months? Or something like that, especially if there's, you know, a significant difference in cost. But it actually wouldn't matter, just, again, a clarification thing. And am I interpreting that wrong, or, you know, could there be an opportunity for some sort of clarification, or do we do that in some way in something that's just misunderstood? I mean, I do proposals all the time for things, and I always appreciate it if someone says, you know, comes back to me and says, you know, did you mean it this way? We're not sure. And so
a technical error that sometimes is overlooked is, say, a misplaced decimal point where it's obvious that there's just a typo, basically. That's a technical error. When it becomes more substantive is where we start worrying about, say, a battle of the forms, where our form says there has to be a 24-month warranty, and somebody submits what they say is a complete bid responsive, but their form says 18 months. Now we're in between and betwixt. We don't know, are we really awarding this on an 18-month, or are we awarding it on a 24-month? And when you start getting into something that could affect the bid and the bid price and compliance with the specifications, that's when it begins to be more substantive. So it's not just looks like a clerical error. It looks like perhaps there is actually a counter proposal to what we're requiring under the specifications. Now here, I don't know if there was, I didn't get from this that there was a, that we were requiring 24 months and that their bid document said 24, but then also somewhere else it said 18. I don't believe there was.
If I might interject, I think we're starting to argue over minutiae here.
I'm trying to understand the process.
Yeah, but I would simply suggest that, you know, I worked enough with construction trades to understand that when you've had a walkthrough and you had individuals have an opportunity to see the site, observe what is to be done, that's their time to ask the questions. And from what I'm given to understand, there was a walkthrough and an opportunity for questions and answers. And then the bids were submitted. Given that, I think that addresses that, as opposed to whether or not we really did miss an opportunity here.
Well, you know, I would counter that, Frank.
Interjection, but I'd still like to get an answer on the process here to understand. We might as well use this as a teachable moment for it in some way.
And I have to excuse myself, so I'm turning the meeting over to Vice President Patterson.
Okay.
All right.
You know, Frank, I understand what you're saying, and I know we're going to hear a little bit more about this, and it is a teachable moment, as Doug talked about. But when you have a 500-page bid you're doing, and you're putting numbers in and words in, you can make a mistake. Hell, I make mistakes on two-page letters on things sometimes, and thank God other people catch it for me. And that's, I guess, I'm asking is, as Doug asked and Marguerite indirectly asked, when the bids are open, do we go back and say, is this what you meant?
Because, again, the question, related question is, you know, does it make any sense that someone would submit a bid that's not in compliance, that's not going to be given consideration because it's not up to specification?
So maybe we can allow Kelly to provide a response.
Yeah, this might be helpful to me. Were these the only two bids, or are there other bids as well?
They were the only two.
Okay.
And maybe Kelly, you can explain what do we put out, which is a pretty significant document. What do we get back, and then what's our normal protocol for review, whether it was one, two, or more?
And to speak to Director Coleman's first of all, hit Craig's question, and then Director Coleman. We did state a 24-month, we required a 24-month warranty period in the bid package, and they submitted an 18-month warranty. So let's to clear that up.
Is there any benefit? I mean, you mentioned maybe they were doing a counter-proposal. In this case, it doesn't seem like there'd be any benefit for anyone to do a counter-proposal.
Well, we don't engage in a counter-proposal process when we're doing public bidding. We put out what we want, and then we ask you to explain to you, and then you have to provide a price for what we want, and not suggest something else that we might want. That's not how the process works. We spend a lot of time defining what we want.
This was a request for quotation, not a request for proposal. So it was a request for. We specifically stated the exact. So different.
So wouldn't there be some presumption that maybe it was a mistake, rather than somebody's goes to all this trouble and effort and cost of preparing a proposal, and then it doesn't even meet the specifications?
So we're very careful, and this, well, I can hit both of your questions in this. We're very careful to look at errors, as Craig mentioned earlier, that may be nuanced things about language, verbiage, and stuff like that, when it's hard statements such as 18-month versus 24-month. We want bolts. We're not giving bolts. That kind of, you know, the black and white stuff, cut and dry. I think Craig can speak to the law a little bit more on this, but we're not allowed to say, okay, do you want to go ahead and give us more? Because that would be a cost-affecting situation. We would have to then, I presume, allow that of every bidder that bids on the project, to other bidders as well.
It's not the public contracting
the
process.
Public contracting, so that would be against PCC.
It's just different, right? When you're I think the board's aware of this, so maybe it is just kind of a refresh, right? As a private you were referencing your own, how you would approach it, get three bids, have a conversation, try to understand what's the best, learn through the experience. The public contracting code doesn't afford us that. We have to, and I'm repeating myself, select the lowest responsive, responsible bidder, and there are constraints about sort of serial conversation subject to receipt of the bid that put us in a potentially disadvantageous legal situation, i.e. we could get sued by others if we start having a conversation with one outfit. We really just have to throw everything out and start over again if we view that that somehow there's been an error in the bidding process that would disadvantage the district. Could you please add more if you see?
I think you nailed it. That's pretty much it. Yeah, we just are trying to make sure that it's an even playing field for all bidders, that no one's afforded an extra opportunity that someone is not, I think, is the underlying current.
Okay. Any other question?
Maybe it is a question for Alex and Craig. This is a confusing issue. It's not easy. Might be good at the beginning of the next closed session. We have 10 minutes allocated to just talking about the bidding process. So there's a clear understanding of what state law is and how what we have to abide by, what we can and cannot do. Again, to the two speakers, I do feel your pain, and I would think personally, if we had a question, we can go back without jeopardizing all the bits and ask a question for clarification. That's where I'm coming from.
We would be glad to provide a primer and find a time for that. Ideally, I'm not sure that it.
Yeah, I don't know if it works at the next meeting or not. But
well, what we could do is we'll provide you with a confidential info memo that gives us gives you the complete legal analysis, and then at the beginning of the closed session here in open. As we start closed session, we can give you guidelines as to what we follow and how we interpret the law and be available to answer any questions, but that would be more in the open session part of closed session.
Okay. The other thing that sort of gripes me on this whole thing is, yes, sir, in Stockton, San Joaquin County, which is adjacent to our country, the company that won the award is in Ontario, California, which is not anywhere near our service area, whereas this company is.
Okay, that being the conclusion, as I understand it, the lowest responsive bidder is the language of the law. So, having heard that, what's the pleasure of the body?
I'll move this item.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Moved and properly seconded to go with the award of contract. Any discussion? All in favor of said motion indicate by the usual sign of aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So ordered. Now we'll move to item 7. Frank?
I pulled it. Perhaps the general manager would like to go before me.
Yes, but thank you. As is Director Mellon's practice, pulling an appointment of the Director of Water and Natural Resources. As board members are aware, our long-tenured manager of Water and Natural Resources, Richard Sykes, is going to be retiring towards the end of the year, and so we've gone through a comprehensive recruitment, and we're recommending Mike Tognolin to the position. There's a fair amount of information in the associated board document that explains his background. And with that, I'll turn it back to Director Mellon.
Well, first of all, Richard, I wouldn't have wanted to be in the general manager's shoes to try to figure out who to replace you with, because your shoes alone are so big to fill. But I will admit that when I saw Mike's name show up on the appointment, I was positively ecstatic because I've had the opportunity to work with Mike on all kinds of projects. The first and most interesting one being the Bayside project, which had some fascinating turns and twists, which Mike and I had some very interesting business on at least one occasion. And I have admired Mike's work. And as he's progressed and now has been running the Durwa project, you know, it's very gratifying to see one of our own ascend to a position to fill some pretty big shoes. And you'll have some work ahead of you, Mike. But I think that it's an amazing appointment, and you do understand it means you're committing to stay here at least until retirement as your predecessor. And I'm so pleased with the appointment, and I certainly would like to move the appointment and ratify Mike's coming on board in that position.
I'll second that.
Moved and properly seconded.
I have a couple questions, if I could. Who's going to take over Durwa?
So Mike is going to stay in that role until March of 2019. And then we're having a conversation about how to, with Dan Gallery representing DSRSD, about the best approach going forward, whether we would utilize agency staff or whether we would contract out. And we haven't decided yet what to recommend, and so that'll be a part of the discussion at an upcoming Durwa board meeting.
I mean, I'm reluctantly supporting this because he went to Stanford. But I got to give him credit. He never talks about the Indians or whatever they are now.
The tree trunks.
And we have a motion and a proper second on the appointment of Frank Tongolini. All in favor of the said motion, indicate by the usual sign of aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Frank, come forward.
Mike.
Mike, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Vice President.
I just wanted to apologize. I got a name twisted. Because this guy worries me all the time. But I'm very happy about you coming to this position. I think it brings a whole lot to East Bay Mud to have you promoted from within.
Thank you. Thank you, Director Patterson, and all the board members. I'm truly honored to have this opportunity. I want to thank the board and thank Alex in particular. I'm honored to be able to proceed in this position with this appointment. I've been at East Bay Mud 22 years. And I've been here this long because I believe in our mission, and I believe in East Bay Mud's employees that get the work done every day, all the time. I'm excited to get to work with a dedicated and inspiring staff in the Water and Natural Resources Department, and I'm looking forward to working with all of you as we continue East Bay Mud's leadership in water supply reliability and natural resources stewardship. So thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Welcome into the position.
Thanks.
We'll now move to the determination and discussion item 8.
It must have been something we said again.
Yeah. So we'll let the room clear. During our Finance and Administration Committee meeting today, both of these items were considered, and Director Patterson, you know that they were supported.
Yes. I wanted to apprise the board of the fact that both 8 and 9 were heard before the Finance Committee this morning, and the review and recommendation of item 8 is, in fact, recommended by the Finance Committee, and it was a great presentation, so I'm glad that all of you will get a chance to experience it.
So we have a shortened presentation for the board.
Okay. So good afternoon, Vice President Patterson, members of the board. I'm Robert Hanney. I'm the treasury manager at the district. And I'm going to actually be going through two items. So I guess it's eight and nine. It's the financing plan and then a proposed extension to a liquidity facility.
Both are recommended by the committee.
Right, okay. Yeah, thank you. That's right. So first off, we have our financing plan for fiscal 19. As you know, our debt activity falls into three general buckets. There's administering the existing debt portfolio, issuing new debt for projects, and then looking for market opportunities to lower risk and or reduce borrowing costs. So we're recommending two financings for the fiscal year 19. One of those is, we'll be talking about more in just a second, but it's extending the Bank of America liquidity facility for commercial paper. And then I'll talk about that in a moment. We're also recommending issuing up to $200 million in new revenue bonds for the water system. That for the wastewater system, we actually don't see the need right now for new revenue bonds this fiscal year. We'll also continue to look for opportunities to take advantage of low-cost state and federal loans. We actually have one application in on the wastewater side for about $27 million. So if we get that, we would continue pursuing it. And then, as we always do, we'll continue monitoring opportunities, the market, and our own debt portfolio to do refundings to reduce debt service or to de-risk our debt portfolio. So that was the overall plan. That was the overall plan for the year. This specific transaction that we're talking about today, as is typical for a commercial paper program, our water system commercial paper is backed by bank liquidity facilities, and we have two facilities, one from Sumitomo Mitsui for $200 million and one from Bank of America for $160 million. The Bank of America agreement expires at the end of next month, which is why we're bringing this item here today. In July, with the help of our financial advisor, we conducted a request for proposals for a new liquidity facility, and we received 8 responses. We narrowed that list down to 4, which provided 3-year facilities at the lowest cost, and one of those firms responding was Bank of America, our existing liquidity provider, which offered to extend their existing agreement. So our recommended selection is Bank of America. They offered to extend the existing agreement for 3 years, 3 years from November 30th, and lower their annual fee to 30 basis points. It's currently 32.5 basis points. That's a savings of about $40,000 per year for this facility. Two banks did provide lower bids, one at 28.5 basis points and one at 29 basis points, so compared to 30 for Bank of America. However, if we were to change banks, it does entail higher transaction costs. So our financial advisor, Montague DeRose, estimates that it would be at least $133,000 to change the liquidity bank for this commercial paper, for this particular series, and about $40,500 to extend the legal documents that are in place. So we take that difference and we incorporate it into the overall cost over the 3 years that we expect this to be in place. And when you do that, the all-in cost to extend Bank of America is lower. It's the most cost-effective option. And so that is our recommendation, is to extend the existing agreement for 3 years with Bank of America at the lower cost of 30 basis points from 32.5 basis points. So this is just reiterating our recommendation again. It's for two items, to approve the financial plan and to approve the extension of the revolving credit agreement with Bank of America. And please let me know if you have any questions.
Okay. You have before you two items. The last that we just commented on have to do with the two units in terms of water system commercial paper program and the Bank of America revolving credit agreement. Additionally, we received the report as it related to the financing plan for the district for year 2019. As part of that report, we had from Mays and Associates the independent auditor's report for the year ending 2018. I think these things are very important to get on the record because they are all part of the financial excellence that I spoke about earlier in giving out the award to staff. But this is the hard side. These are the real elements of the financial acumen which distinguishes this district. So on the part of the Finance Committee, we are recommending the two items, 8 and 9.
I'll move the item, both 8 and 9.
Second.
We have a motion and an appropriate second. Is there any discussion? All in favor of the said motion indicate by the usual sign of aye.
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 Opposed? Any abstentions? So ordered. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll now move to the general manager's report.
All right. Thank you, Director Patterson. I'd just like to draw director's attention to the we have a speakers bureau at your places that's been freshly updated. Looking forward to it includes this month's items and everything that we know about through the end of the year. So if there's anything else you're aware of, please let us know. And related to that, at your places is also a memo about the Unity Council's Dia de los Muertos Festival on the 4th of November. The district is a sponsor, and we have 5 complimentary passes. And so if that's something that you're interested in, please let the Secretary's office know by this Friday if you can. Otherwise, we'd like to find others to take advantage of the tickets.
I think at the conclusion of the general manager's report, Alex, I just want to say from the chair seat, and I discussed this with Lisa, we really like the way of your leadership and the in-depth involvement of staff related to moving the fruitful agenda of East Bay Mud. At this time, if there's no further business to come before us, we will have the committee reports, and in your packet, the committee reports planning, legislative, human resources, sustainability, energy, finance, and administration are there. Are there items for future consideration? Are there director comments?
I do have one.
Yes. Frank?
This past weekend, East Bay Mud's land over by the Christmas Tree Farm in Castro Valley, which is on the other side of the golf course, was opened again for the Run for Sports, for the Sports Foundation. There were 152 runners. The weather was astonishingly chilly. And wouldn't you know, the sun came out after we had packed everything up and gone home. But it was cold. The water buffalo wagon, whatever we call it, was again a very big hit, and we want to thank the staff that helped, as well as the various staff personnel from Scott Hill's office and Mark Silva for the terrific job they did in helping to make it a success. This is one of those community events that really is turning into a community event, and it was a revival of what used to be called the Run to the Lake, and is now this Run for Sports. So I wanted to thank not only staff, board members for your indirect support, and to the general manager's office for really helping folks have a very good time for a run that is, you know, the price is kept low because of the kind of support and participation. And people got out and ran and had fun. So thanks to all of you and to the general manager and the staff that helped us. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Frank. Any other comment? Let me just say at the close of the meeting, a reminder. Today begins the open enrollment benefit for the district. Yeah. And so I remind my fellow board members, don't forget yourselves and your other ones that are involved in that item. And finally, this is the adjournment of this meeting. We will reconvene here November 14 at 1:15 in the boardroom. Thank you all.
Good. Thank you.